Well, if that wasn't enough to get your allergies going, I don't know what will. So today is a special day, and we know that, and we've said that, but today isn't just about graduation. It's about everything that happened before today, and it's about everything that's going to happen after today. And this makes me sound like every other old person, but I can remember the day that I left for college like it was just yesterday. I can remember packing up my bags in my room and loading it all into the truck and driving to Olathe, Kansas on my way to Mid-America Nazarene University. I was and am fiercely independent, if you don't know that about me. And I tried to play it cool, like, yeah, I'm fine, everything's all right, I got this. But I could feel that something was about to change. The feeling of transition and the unknown. And I know for me, I didn't quite know what to do with those feelings of change. On the one hand, I was ready for it. It's a natural part of growing up, of being 18. I was ready to do things for myself, to be independent, to be self-sufficient. But on the other hand, I was also kind of sad. As much as I was looking forward to something new, I had this sense that life would never be the same as it was of when I was in high school. And seniors, I'm here to tell you this morning that that's true. A lot is about to change in your life. But there's one thing that you can count on to be consistent, and that's our role as your church. And maybe this was something that you never thought about before on your next journey. But we hear stories all the time from young people who before you have gone off and for one reason or another have lost sight of their faith. Maybe it was because of a class or a professor who argued faith, or because it was hard being a Christian in the working world. Maybe it was hard to find a new church in the area, or because sleeping in on Sundays is so much sweeter than going to church. Whatever the reason, their faith starts to weaken. It becomes unused, and eventually it can feel unnecessary. Graduation can feel like a goodbye for a lot of reasons. And goodbye to a lot of people, but church shouldn't be one of them. We've heard graduates say before, you know, I've never felt more abandoned by the church than the day that I graduated from high school. So today we want to make sure that you know that you won't be abandoned. We have seen you as an investment rather than a finish line. When we look at you, we see the countless adults who have given their time and their energy and sometimes their sleep for you. Some of you have been here since you were babies or elementary-aged kids, and you've had leaders who have worked tirelessly to teach you that you can trust God no matter what, or that Jesus wants to be your friend forever. Pastor Shauna or the ones before her have helped you to find a faith of your own. And you've had leaders like Stephen or myself who have walked beside you during the good times like camp or life group, but also through some really hard times where we felt like life was kind of falling apart. Every single one of these people, the ones you see and the ones that you don't, who've worked behind the scenes to make your experience the best that it could be, have invested in you. And when we look at you, that's what we see. The hours and hours of time people have cared about you and poured into you. But that's not the only thing that we see. We look at you and we see the incredible investment that you have made in our church, in our lives. You have made a difference in this church. You've served and prayed and led in many different areas. So we don't want this to feel like we've helped you grow a faith of your own only to walk out with you not feeling prepared maybe for the next step. And like we said earlier, this isn't goodbye, right? We want to help you to say, "Hello, world." And to be able to go on this journey, we want to help you with one thing. And it's the one thing that you have to do first. And that's pack your bags. You actually have to pack your bags to leave. Sorry, guys. You know that we're going to be here for you, though, when you inevitably forget something and you have to come home, or you just need someone to do your laundry for you. So we're going to work on packing our bags together, because when life has brought you to a transition, knowing what to pack in your bag is really important. So I've got three things that you should have packed in your bag. But before we look at what to pack, I want to first look at something found in the book of Timothy. And we call it this book, but in actuality, it's more like a letter. And it's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to this younger guy named Timothy. And Paul was like Timothy's mentor. He invested in him. He spoke purpose and belief into his life. And in the books of 1st and 2nd Timothy, we get this kind of insight into some of the things that Paul passed along to Timothy. So here's a couple things that we know about Paul and Timothy's relationship. We know that Paul traveled to Lystra, where Timothy lived, and Timothy's mother was a Jewish believer, she was a Jewish believer in Jesus, and his father was Greek. So the believers in this area spoke well of Timothy. Like, they knew him, they would vouch for him, because he had already built this great relationship and this great, like, reputation with the people there. So Paul wanted to take him on his next journey. And because there were lots of Jews where Paul was going, he asked Timothy to be circumcised. And all of you just woke up. As a sign of Judaism, and Timothy ran as fast as he could. Right? No, that's not the story. He did it. That's the even crazier part. He did it. So Paul and Timothy had this deep relationship with one another. Timothy was willing to do that for Paul. They did life together. They did ministry together. Paul gave Timothy pointers and kind of showed him the ropes. But then something changed. And we see Timothy eventually kind of starting to venture out on his own, going off on his own, like, missionary work on his own trips. And when Timothy left for those trips, his bags were packed and he was ready to go. So we're going to look at those three things that Timothy knew as he packed his bags. And those three things were the result of this investment that Paul had made in Timothy's life. So first at Philippi, we see that Paul thought of Timothy like a son in faith. Philippians 2:22 says, "But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel." And he says it again in his first letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 4:17. It says, "For this reason I have sent you to Timothy, my son whom I love, who is faithful in the Lord." In fact, he says it right at the beginning of his first and his second letter to Timothy. Check out 2 Timothy 1:2. It says, "To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." And Paul actually used this term, son, 19 times in his letter. He wasn't messing around. He says, "My son, my true son in faith, my son whom I love." So we get this really clear picture that this wasn't just a friendship. Paul saw Timothy as family. And before you guys go, before you seniors venture off onto your own thing, we want you to know the same thing. Timothy knew that Paul was behind him. Timothy had become family to Paul. And he says this over and over again. He reiterates that I'm behind you. So we want you to know that we are behind you. See you in my bag. See, this is what it's like when you pack. you don't actually know where anything has gone. Got it. So, each one of you, we've given you a picture. And in youth group, we are doing a together series. We're talking about living life as this first church in Acts, living life with one another daily, giving everything that you have for each other. And we want to remind you that you have a history with us. We took this picture during that those sermons. We want to be an anchor for you. We want to support you as life throws as many curveballs as they possibly can. We know that you have parents who have birthed you and fed you and thankfully wiped you and raised you through those really awkward years. But we want you to know that even though we didn't do all of that, that we still see you as family. Even if you haven't been around for very long, we are behind you. And when you know that someone is behind you, you guys can do anything. You can face anything. You can get through almost anything. And Timothy knew Paul was with him. It says in 2 Timothy 1, 3 through 4, I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience. As night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I might be filled with joy. And this is super cool because even though they were separated, there was distance between them, Paul didn't stop praying for Timothy. Paul was in a Roman prison, actually, at the time when he wrote this letter to Timothy, and he still didn't stop praying for him. You guys have people who love you and who are with you. They love you and they're praying for you every step of the way. And I would imagine when Timothy was feeling frustrated or overwhelmed or out of his league, he remembered Paul's letter. And he remembered what Paul's letter represented, and that even though that there was separation, Paul was with him and he was praying with him. So just like Timothy knew that, he knew that Paul was with him, we're with you. So if you guys, this will be the only time I ever tell you to do this. If you don't have your phone, why don't you grab it out, you four, because you guys are going to be getting a text right now. I'm sure if these were around with Paul, that he would have been texting or sending maybe, I don't know, thumbs up emojis to Timothy constantly, every morning, but they weren't. So Paul wrote letters. He wrote Timothy words of encouragement. He wrote words that built him up and gave him endurance. And Timothy held on to those messages. And in the same way, we want you to know that we are with you, that we are praying for you. We want you to know how much that we love you and that we believe in you. And I know that this was true when I was in college and sometimes still today, that my parents have to remind me that the phone works both ways. They'll text me and then I just don't text back. So we have the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, but I bet that Timothy wrote back to Paul. And we would love to hear your guys' stories. And we would love to see what the church and what God is doing in your life and how he's using you in your new journey. And even if we don't really hear from you, we still love you. And we're still with you. And so thirdly, let's look at the mission that Paul gave Timothy. Timothy knew that Paul was for him. In Timothy 1:8, it says, "Do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. So in a lot of ways, this stage of life is super hard. Following Jesus in high school is not easy. But following Jesus outside of high school can sometimes be even harder. It's even more complicated. You may even feel days where you feel ashamed. It's as if Paul was saying right here that if you feel embarrassed to follow Jesus, Timothy, don't forget that I'm behind you and that I'm with you and that I'm for you. And it's not only faith that's going to be hard in this next stage. There are going to be days. There are going to be days that are hard for a totally different reason. When you fail a class. When you don't get into a club. When you miss a deadline. When you make a giant mistake. When you disappoint someone. You're going to have days where you feel like you've let yourself down. But Paul tells Timothy this in 2 Timothy 1:9. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Timothy knew that Paul was for him. And we want you to know that we're for you. And in life, there are going to be disappointments. There's going to be moments when our expectations aren't met because of something that's happened or because of something maybe that we've done. And it starts to feel like all the good stuff that we envisioned is getting tossed out the window because it's not quite working out how we thought. But you need to know that there is nothing, nothing that God cannot work in the midst of, make right, make clean, or make whole. Grace says that you are always welcome back home. No matter what you've done or what you've experienced, we are for you. When things work out, or when things go wrong, or they don't work out, you're welcome home. And you're also welcome home just to do laundry. I keep saying it, but it's real. Because we all know that you are not going to do it while you're in school. In the beginning of his second letter to Timothy, Paul challenges Timothy with a task. He says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Timothy knew that Paul was behind him, with him, for him. He was able to complete this task, and we want the same thing for you. We want to protect you as an investment that we've invested in. We want you to be driven by the gospel. And that when you pack your bags, that you would remember that God is behind you, and that we are behind you, that God is with you, and that we are with you, and that God is for you, and that we are for you and your future. And in the midst of any difficulty that you go through, you have an anchor. The cross and the resurrection of Jesus is behind you. In the middle of any stress or anxiety, you have our prayers. And the Holy Spirit of God is with you at all times. If you happen to mess up, you always have grace. The Father always welcomes you back home. No matter what you've done, no matter what you've been, this is not goodbye. This right here is hello world.